Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Look at those folks waiting for number 62.
The net's almost unfair. The 2-1. Swung on, there she goes! Number 62! Move over, Big Mac, you got company!
Welcome back, it's Mullen Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It's a nice Monday here in the city of Chicago. 1 degree, minus 10 wind chill. Layla Rahimi in for Mully. Cold outside. It's nice to talk about baseball when it's this cold outside.
Think warm thoughts.
Think warm thoughts. And certainly there was a lot of warmth at the Cub convention that wrapped up over the weekend at the Sheraton Grand. We were there Saturday for Inside the Clubhouse, had a great show with Kyle Tucker and Justin Steele and Tom Ricketts and Crane Kenny. And, of course, we played the interview we're going to hear now. Friday night, Bruce Levine and I were lucky enough to have an audience with Sammy Sosa. It's for Sammy's first appearance at the Cub Convention in 21 years. There was the applause and ovation and warmth in the room when he was introduced. He did the lap. He had all the hugs. And then Sammy, after the introductions, went backstage. He met with the Marquee Sports Network. He met with us, and then he met with the assembled Chicago sports media. During our conversation, which lasted about 15 minutes, we're going to play right now. It began with Sammy's answer. What was it like being back?
Was incredible. I was waiting in this moment for 21 years. So I guess I'm here. Today was the opportunity for me to show the love. They showed me the love also. And everything went very good. I'm glad that pretty much they put on the show like the way they're expecting. And hey, you know, another good day.
What was it like seeing some of your old teammates for the first time in a long time? And who might you not have recognized? Anybody?
Well, yeah, I was very happy today to meet everyone. Kerry Wu, Sean Donson, Billy Whelan, you know, Jack Jenke, Andre. I mean, all of them in Ramirez. So having been. I haven't seen this guy for a long time. So, look, they was happy, too, that I'll be back in town now. Pretty much I want to see this guy a little bit more often and looking forward to pretty much continue our friendship.
What was it like for you who had such great stardom and everything was so wonderful during your career to have 21 years of being away from the people that loved you the most and the people you performed for at the highest level?
Well, I think, Bruce, the time is perfect. So God is great. So that was the time for me to come back here for some reason. I don't know. Maybe God, you know, have a plan for me, which is always does. And today was a beautiful night. No complaint. I'm happy. I still have some shield. I went up there and put in the show the way they expected me to do. You know, when I was running like that, remind me right field, you know, when I was running to the bleachers. So, look, you know, they was happy. You know, I make a lot of people happy, and I was proud of that.
You heard the people react to that when you did that. You know, the crowd still remembers those days fondly. So a lot of people have been waiting for this moment for a very long time. Why did it take this long, and how did we get here to this point? Did you reach out to Tom Ricketts and the Cubs? Did they approach you? How would you explain the way you got here tonight?
Well, you know, look, I got a good thing. I decided to put my statement out in the right time, so I did it. They respond back to me, and I was very proud, very happy. And also, not only that, I have to say, you know, thanks to Tom Ricketts, because, he responded in the right time. So I guess, you know, he was like me, you know, that was the right time or the right moment for me to be back here.
You spent so much time in Chicago originally getting traded to the White Sox. I remember Danny Evans telling me the story about how your first year you wanted to get paid and you asked him to cash the money and bring the cash down. You put $7,000 in your back pocket and played a whole game. You've come a long way from that, Sammy.
Indeed. I mean, look, I mean, coming from Dominican Republic, that was tough. I mean, bring in, get the opportunity that I get, and also, you know, I have a lot of family that you know was waiting for me by then, for me to make it to the show. I did it, and also, you know, my main focus was, you know, play hard, do great, have a great year, so that way I can come back home happy, you know, with a lot of $7,000 in my pocket.
Well, you're here tonight because you reached out, you made a statement a month ago. The Tom Ricketts, they responded to it, so they invited you back into the fold. In your statement, you apologized. For what did you apologize?
Oh, 21 years, buddy. You know what I mean? Look, 21 years haven't been here. I mean, come on. I mean, you know, look, I mean, when you're growing up and you pretty much find the Lord, because I did, and you see things now differently. Before, it was hard for me, you know, to do that. But now, you know, I did it with, you know, I mean, with happiness. I mean, I did it because, you know, look, when I grew up, I mean, when I was playing, you know, I play great every day. I maybe hurt some people that I don't even know about it. So that's why, you know, I sent my statements. And I think it was, you know, fantastic. I mean, let's say 90% of the fan was very happy. 10%, you know, like always, is going to be say whatever they want. And, hey, so be.
But were you apologizing for something specific, for the way you played the game or for the way that you hit the home runs? Were you apologizing for anything specific?
Like I say, I was 21 years out, you know, without coming here to Chicago. And believe me, my friend, they love me, they support me. And definitely, you know, that's one of the reasons why I did.
What's the most difficult thing about being one of the most famous people in the world? Because you were hanging around with the Clintons and you were as famous as anybody this side of Michael Jordan the time you played. What was the hardest part of not being famous anymore? What did you have to get used to?
No, look, I mean, I play great. I had my moment. I mean, I met everybody that I need to be met. But, you know, when you're in that world, I mean, it's different, you know. I mean, but when you met the Lord and you understand, you know, things that are not making any sense anymore. So I don't, you just come down to the reality. So I believe, I mean, I'm a big believer, and that's why, you know, pretty much I'm here today. And, you know, look, I met Clinton, I met Donald Trump, I met a lot of people. In my day, and I was glad and I was happy to do that. But now I'm a different man.
You are in the Cubs Hall of Fame tonight. Congratulations.
Thank you.
How do you feel about not being in the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown?
Well, that's another stage. I mean, normally we go one step at a time. I'm just happy to be at the Chicago Hall of Fame. You know, let's see, you know what the future bring me here with the Chicago Hall of Fame. So pretty much I'm not thinking about something in the past. I like to go forward.
When you think about teammates, managers, general managers, baseball people, who comes to your mind first when you think about your career and who had the most influence?
Well, a lot of people. First, the Lord, because, I mean, my family. I had to mention Larry Hine, which is believing me when I was pretty much when no one, I had to say, believe in me. He trained me twice. So I guess he sees something in me that nobody else sees, right? And I did it, and I never let Larry Hine down. And also, pretty much, you know, there's a lot of people in my life that I have to, you know, pretty much remember. But, I mean, you know, managers, players, GM. So, you know, there's a lot of people that that are our favorite, too.
How would you describe what your legacy is? And does it bother you at all that it might be tainted to some people?
No, man, don't lie, my friend. I don't really care who think about it or no. You know, my number is my number. Nobody can scratch my number from the board. I don't care what you say. So I'll move forward. You know, I do what I got to do, and I'm happy and I'm glad. And they show me tonight that my number count. So
this summer, you come back to Wrigley Field for the first time in 21 years. You will be able to be honored at the ballpark, mm-hmm. be a part of that ballpark. What have you missed the most about the Chicago fans and Wrigley Field?
everything. You know, I mean, they have a new ballpark. I mean, they have a new clubhouse that I haven't been there. So I want to see everything. You know what I mean? 40,000 square feet. My goodness. I mean, when we play, we only have maybe 2,000, you know, square feet clubhouse. So now it's 40,000. And that's one thing that I feel comfortable to. And also, I want to go back to the question that you're talking about. I mean, what I'm saying is meaning that, because sometimes people get confused when I'm trying to say something. I don't mean it to offend anybody. I don't. But I believe, you know, I'm a man that I've been through so many things in my life. I have a master in fall, but I have another master in get up and move forward. So definitely, I feel comfortable about it. I want to make sure that, we don't go to a different direction.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
When you come back, do you one day hope to see your number retired? Do you hope to one day see a statue of Sammy Sosa? What do you hope that...
Everything. Everything. Are you kidding me? Everything. Yes. You know? You know, look. The numbers don't lie, buddy. You know what I mean? I mean, with the light. Look, I'm back. I'm happy. I mean, Tom is a great man. The Chicago organization, you know, they hear. They know the kind of person that I am. You know, because some people got confused sometimes. You don't know me, and you can think, you can say something about me, but you really met me, you see the difference.
What, Sammy, what's your relationship now with Tom? Have you had some private moments where you've gotten to talk, and are you looking to forge this relationship forward for many years?
I think so, because, I mean, look, I mean, he welcomed me to his house, because that's his thing, and also I'm glad to do that. I'm honored to be here again, and I believe that the whole Chicago organization, you know, Dennis was great, Gene, you know, Giselle, everybody there, because I don't remember everybody's name, but everybody was great. I mean, still going through something. Look, I'm here now, like I said, and I believe the future is going to bring some good things for
me. People see you, they think of a certain memory, or a flood of memories come back. When you come back here, what is your favorite memory of being a Cub?
Well, I have a lot of memory with me, you know. Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe 21 months, maybe 60, you know, he's 60, 61 here. So I don't know. Look, it was so many opportunities that I have to come through, you know, and also, you know, he's 64, 63, 64, and 66. And the year that I had a home run champion was when I had 50. So, you know what I mean? Go ahead.
I want to take you back to 2001.
Okay.
After 9/11, Cubs come home after being on the road. What was that like for you to get that home run and grab that flag from Billy Williams coming around first?
Well, that was incredible because, I mean, 9/11 was happening. Everybody was scared. Everybody was a little bit shaky because, I mean, we never see something like that. The Twin Tower going down like that, a couple of planes. I mean, come on. And also that, I remember that when we have a chance to play the game, I want to do something, like I always do something different, you know what I mean? So I said to Billy, take the flag to first base because I'm going to hit a home run today. I just said it like that. And also, you know what I mean, it happened. And also when, you know, I mean, the flag that I got running to, to right field was incredible too. But I said that to Billy. And then you see in the video that, you know, when I hit the home run, I pass the base and then I come back to get the flag, right?
Right.
Yeah.
It's so interesting that you understood early on that you were not only a ball player and a great ball player, but an entertainer. How did you mesh the two? How did you, because you went out there every day out to right field and you got the fans going. I mean, you were an entertainer as much as a ball player.
I remember seeing that movie, The Gladiator. You got to win the crowd. You had to win the crowd, and I had the ability to do that, Bruce, and I did it. I came out very strong. I was focused in what I wanted to do, physically, mentally, and I believe that that was, you know, why it gave me so far, because I was afraid, you know, I'm strong mentally, and when you do that, you can go anywhere.
Final few moments here on Inside the Clubhouse at Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. David Haw, Bruce Levine, talking with Sammy Sosa. Sammy, was there somebody in the Cub organization, somebody in Chicago, somebody that you made sure you needed to see when you came back to town for the first time in so long?
Bruce, yeah, Bruce, that has been with me for so many years. And outside, I see some couple of reporters that was great to me. And look, you know, I treat everybody nice. You know, people sometimes, you know, they pretty much change their mind when they're going to do something about me. But hey, look, I mean, it's happened. I'm not perfect, but you know, I'm always never forget anybody.
Has it bothered you how you have been portrayed by some people in some circles in Chicago over the years?
Look, I mean, today and age, you know, social media, people want to say whatever they want to say. Now, day and age today, everybody's a reporter. So look, you know, 90% that approve you and 10% is, not happen. Hey, you know, it's like you win the lottery.
When you look at baseball today, can you sit and watch a whole game or is it difficult for you? And how many home runs would you hit now?
Well, I mean, with all the technology that they have today, you know, it can make it easy because, I mean, you know, you got an iPad, you know, you can watch, you know, every pitch, every swing that you do. I mean, normally, when I was playing, normally I had to go back to the clubhouse, you know, I mean, the next day see myself. Today you have it here in the clubhouse, I mean, when the dugout. So pretty much, I mean, it's a great opportunity now. Definitely, I believe that it's, you know, not easy to hit because he's not easy. But, you know, whoever have talent, they have to be focused, stay in the middle, go to right field, and make contact.
Sammy, thank you so much for your time. Welcome back, and really appreciate you spending some time with us.
My pleasure.
Sammy Sosa, that was Friday night with Bruce Levine and me in the interview area at the Sheraton Grand for the Cubs convention. Layla Rahimi in for Mully. It's Mully and Haw back live here. We're going to talk to Bruce Levine in a few moments, Layla, to get his reaction. But my initial response now was the same as I felt then. Obviously, I would have loved more clarity and maybe specificity from Sammy regarding the question about what he was apologizing for. Realistically, I knew that I was not going to get an answer that was specific or one that provided any more clarity. But you had to ask it. And I felt like he came prepared. He had his talking points. And to me, once you get past that ground that you had to cover, overall, I just think the focus was on people being relieved and really kind of overjoyed that Sammy Sosa was back in the fold.
That was the reaction that I received. I don't know if anybody was prepared for the amount that he was going to draw at Cubs convention, if people fully understood that or grasped that. But the hard part is over now. The silence is over. Tom Ricketts responded in kind almost immediately when Sammy made a statement that acknowledged it. And acknowledge is the key word here.
Yeah.
It was enough for the owner of the franchise. I applaud both parties in doing so. Now some sort of bridge can be built. and the foundation can be built to be a part of this team.
And one of the more telling, I think, or memorable exchanges, obviously we're all watching to see how he was with Kerry Wood. We kidded with Big Z about, you know, the boombox legend and the myths and all of those things about who did what when with the boombox, you know, being destroyed in the Cubs clubhouse. But I was really curious how Ryne Sandberg would respond and react to Sammy Sosa's presence. Rhino, obviously, at his Hall of Fame induction speech and after that, has been a very staunch proponent of keeping PED offenders out of the Hall of Fame and doing and playing the game the right way. And so you wondered about that potential for some distance there. And yet there was a good warm moment with Rhino and Sammy. Both guys said the right things. I think if Sammy got the, I don't know who was the louder applause, but it felt like to me it was in the room that Rhino did, but he is Mr. Cub. He's a cancer survivor and he's fighting it now. Sammy, he was there and Rhino acknowledged, you know, the fact that he had returned. That was a good moment. There were a lot of them over the weekend. And now, as you say, it's a great way to put it. Hard part's over. The next time Sammy comes to town, it's not going to be an issue. The big issue when he comes back will be the people bowing again or whatever they want to do. And I asked him about the jersey retirement or the statue in typical Sammy Sosa fashion. He said, everything, everything.
I think you could hear the relief there. And I'm not discrediting any opinion that Ryne Sandberg has. He is entitled to them all, and people are too. But guess what? You have some people you like on the teams that you watched. You have some people you don't like on the teams that you watched. And that's okay. Nobody's taking that away from you. But some sort of detente needed to happen, and it was enough for Tom Ricketts, and I think that's good enough for me.
And it was good enough for Bruce Levine, and we will talk to Bruce when we come back. It's Mully and Haw, Layla Rahimi, in for Mully, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.